Mostly.
Yeah. Well, anyways, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 8. Picture this.
Yeah.
This is everyone's gonna have a second chance at pitching something, so this is great.
Everyone's pretty much had their second chance.
Yeah. And you failed. So two strikes are out.
It didn't go well.
Yeah, we're gonna get arrested if we do it one more time each.
Yeah.
Oh. Anyways, it's Mark's turn to pitch this week, but before we do that, we like to do a little bit of movie talk.
Ooh.
So what's in the movies, Mark?
I don't know. It's been so long since we've done this. I don't know what I've talked about. Did we talk about Spring Breakers? We ever talk about that?
No, I saw that.
Did you see that? Did you like it?
Yeah, I absolutely loved it.
Yeah,
and
me
I know,
too.
Yeah, okay, awesome. Because I've talked to people who hated it, but only because, like, they're the type of people that shouldn't have gone to see it, because the trailer is very misleading.
Yeah, people had the complete wrong expectations for that movie. They're just like, oh yeah, it's girls, and they're gonna get in trouble on spring break. It's like, no,
Yeah, it was definitely intentional, though, because...
Right.
I mean, like, yeah, he's got the shots of the topless girls on the beach, but it's, like, he repeats them so often that by the end of the movie, it just becomes really sad and depressing. And
I mean, even right from the beginning, it's, like, slow motion shot of a guy grabbing his dick and, like, screaming at the camera.
Yeah.
Just so excessive. But, it's so sleazy and so fun.
It's amazing, and James Franco, who I usually hate in, like, most
things,
was amazing.
He definitely redeemed himself a little
bit.
So
good. Yeah.
Look
and
at
Gucci
my
Mane,
shit.
Gucci Mane.
That whole monologue. What's up?
Gucci Mane, the...
Oh, yeah, Gucci Mane.
Yeah, he was
Gucci Mane.
A weird choice, but definitely made the movie for me.
I'm not sure if he was, like, consciously aware that he was, like, in a movie at any point. He was just kind of there. I think he thought that...
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that just was his life they were documenting, but it worked.
Yeah, that was his real daughter, and he was having a family meeting with everyone in his house, and he had his daughter on his knee, and he was talking about taking food out of his baby's mouth.
Yep.
Yeah, that was real life.
I believe it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was me. That was Spring Breakers, and I had a good time. What did you guys see? Anything?
I saw Evil Dead.
Oh yeah.
I also saw Evil Dead.
What did you guys think?
I haven't seen it.
It was fine. I enjoyed it. You know, for a remake, it's good. It's nice we can make, like, horror movies for adults that are not just, like, torture stuff. It's like some gore and some camp and. You know, it didn't disappoint for what I was expecting. I'm not, like, a huge fanboy of the original Evil Dead series anyway. But, you know, I went to a midnight screening and people were screaming and, you know, raining blood. And, like, the practical effects were really nice. So, yeah, I had a good time.
More like a midnight screaming.
Well, actually, case in point, Trevor did a private screening for... me and some buddies yesterday for Kyle's birthday, and it looked beautiful. I think that they really captured a lot of good atmosphere in it, and it really was like a desperate situation.
Yeah.
But and I mean I thought I liked the homages to the original, but like
it's called,
in the end,
it's pronounced homage.
Homage, yeah, the hummus.
You're thinking of hummus, Scott.
Yeah, the spicy hummus.
Yeah. But I could not get over, like, I couldn't tell if they were just trying to, like, really beat down the cliche of the, of horror movies in general, or if it was just kind of bad writing. I just could not get over all the terrible decisions they made in that movie.
Yeah.
It was constant bad decisions. It's the worst I've ever seen. And it was, like, I mean, Trevor can attest to this. By the end of the movie, I was standing up and screaming at the screen. I was so upset.
It's true. You were I felt like you were milking it because you could.
Yeah, well, I mean, if there were people in the room, I wouldn't be doing that.
But. No, you just would have been silent, just furiously shaking your head.
Yeah.
But I mean, since you were playing to, you know, our little crowd, our little audience.
Yeah.
You were hammered
I mean, I,
up.
I liked their take on it and making the antagonist the pro tag by the end. I thought that was interesting, but like, I still didn't really care about any of the characters throughout the entire movie. Yeah. So it didn't really kind of get the effect that I'm sure they desired. But it was a good movie. I mean, it was just a really good horror movie.
But you're right; it is terribly written. Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had low expectations as far as like writing or character or story went. I just wanted to see people like cut their arms off. I was satisfied in that department, but yeah, it's just don't believe any of the motivation. Characters just like speak all of the exposition.
Yeah,
it's real silly.
But I think that's the only new movie I've seen. But I'm pumped for the summer. There's lots of good stuff coming out this summer.
Mm-hmm. Well, did we talk about Oz the last time we recorded?
I don't know.
And how it was dumb. Well, Oz was dumb. Burt Wonderstone was incredibly disappointing.
Oh my god, I did see that, and that was disappointing.
That was Jim Carrey was great in his 10 minutes of screen time.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh my god.
I remember. It's weird now that Ebert's dead to still be mad that he really loved Burt Wonderstone and kind of panned Spring Breakers.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still going to hold it against him because it's kind of a big deal, but I will feel bad about it.
I also watched G.I. Joe Retribution.
Oh, Retaliation.
Is it Retaliation?
Yeah,
it's Retaliation.
Ratatouille.
I watched G.I. Joe Rapscallions.
Yeah. Talk about a poorly written film.
Yeah, but talk about just the goofiest, popcorniest movie I've seen this year. Holy shit, this movie
probably
was
in a long
weird.
Time. Do you remember that point where literally every country fired literally all of their nuclear missiles at each other?
Yes, I do.
And what happened? Did they all like explode each other in the air?
Well, they all agreed. Kind of. It was like a trick to get everyone to get rid of their nukes. So like then everyone agreed to blow them all up in the midair, so no one would have nuclear weapons anymore.
Well, what about fallout?
Well, that doesn't matter, because then the fake president was like, I've got something worse than nuclear weapons. I just, like, shoot giant metal rods from outer space at cities and destroy them. And then they just, like, destroy London as a minor plot point.
No, Mark, they don't shoot them. They drop them.
Oh, yeah,
gravity
they don't even
shoot
them.
The
There's
rest.
No energy. They just fucking
drop a tungsten rod.
Oh, yeah. That was a film.
Anyway, it was really goofy.
I mean, was it, like, Fast Five goofy and good in any way?
No,
or was it just bad?
No, not like that. Fast Five is a good film that I enjoy.
It was how everyone expected the Fast and the Furious movies to be.
Uh-huh.
They expected them to be that kind of movie but terrible, when instead they're that kind of movie but good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
good. And, I also watched Room 237.
Oh, was that good? I fucking want to see that.
That was pretty good. Do you guys know what this is?
Yes, documentary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two people recently told me that they absolutely hated it.
Really?
Huh.
Yeah.
I could definitely watch it.
Why is it so amazing? I keep hearing great things.
Well, it's
why?
Not. It's not so amazing, but I guess I like the idea more than the execution, like the idea that there is still so much to be, you know, so much to look at in this movie that's, what, 30 years old now?
At least.
You know, I think it came out in 80. Yeah. And I mean, I really like The Shining. I've always liked that movie. So I've always been interested in the weird, you know, kind of ridiculous out of pulling shit out of thin air theories that people have. And this is just 2 hours of that, so. And some of it is pretty cool. Like, there's some that I could definitely see maybe he's thinking about. But then there's other ones that are just absurd that are still funny to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was cool. It's on, I saw it on, I just got it through iTunes. It was like $6 or something. Video on demand thing.
Okay.
And then I saw The Evil Deads, which I talked about. I finished American Horror Story 2, or whatever it's called.
That shit's the bed, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Wait,
it was
really?
Not as great.
I've never heard that turn of phrase.
Really?
Oh, yeah, everybody says that out here. Yeah, it shit the bed. And made its bed, and then it shit in it.
Yeah. It was okay. I mean, I still definitely liked the first season. I liked most of the second season, too. But I don't know.
Mark, are you okay?
What? No, I'm sick.
He's really upset with American Horror Story.
Were you guys talking to me? I wanted to move my computer so it was closer to my Wi-Fi router, and it was
to your wife. Scott got you.
I don't know what's. I have
wait,
no
you
idea.
Guys? Do you guys? Did you hear my joke, even?
Yes. No. What joke?
No.
Oh, Jesus.
Damn it. It was a great spontaneous side splitter. No, you said move it closer to my Wi-Fi, and I said move it closer to your wife, question mark.
Oh, yeah, I did hear that.
Okay, yeah, that was the joke I was referring to. Okay. You were okay to have skipped over it.
Yeah, but... no, that was a good joke. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we can move on.
Anyway.
Oh, wait, I saw some movies.
Yeah, what did you see?
Yeah, Scott, what have you?
Yeah, seen? I mean, I saw Spring Breakers, but I also I went back and I don't know what prompted me to do this, but I watched the Casino Royale and then Skyfall. I skipped Quantum of the
Solace
of Bollywood. I don't know. I enjoyed both, and I thought Casino Royale was actually a really amazing movie. And
it's a good one.
Yeah, and Skyfall was very strange and interesting, and sad, you know. Mm-hmm. And I thought Javier Bardem was really amazing.
He's a cool fella, especially in that movie.
He's a nice man.
Yeah, yes. I'd like to hang out with him. That's what I'm saying.
I'd touch
your leg.
Yeah, you know, just a little bit, you know.
Any other new movies anybody seen? Old movies?
Star
Trek?
Oh, I also saw the HBO David Mamet Phil Spector movie with Al Pacino. Yeah, with Al Pacino.
Phil Spector. Well,
yeah, okay.
sorry, we all had to.
We can cut that out later. No, it was actually really good, and again, I talked to people who said they did not like it, but I thought it was fabulous. Pacino was amazing. I think it's just on these HBO projects, he actually allows himself to, like, you know, worm his way into these weird roles, whereas in the movies he takes, it's just... I think it's mostly just awful script writing, but he just doesn't, and it seems like he doesn't enjoy acting in those movies. And the Phil Spector movie is really, it was kind of extremely upsetting watching him, but in a good way, question mark? All right.
Yeah, you can that's get my, upset in a good way.
That's my good. Review.
You did it.
All right. Well, Mark, are you ready for your pitch?
I guess. I'd rather just talk about G.I. Joe Retaliation for like another hour.
We'll just make that your pitch.
Don't think that I didn't.
I bet you could take that to Hollywood, the same script, and be like, I got this movie, and they'd make it.
Wait, so Trevor's the only one that saw that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Because, yeah, Trevor, I pretty much just took that movie and then just changed some things, and that's my pitch.
Oh, good Lord, Mark.
But also, you'll find out. It's real bad.
All right, so it stars The Rock.
Well, yeah, but let me get into that. He doesn't show up until, like, scene 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, what were your prompts?
I had to... Oh my God, they're the worst. I had to have an antagonist.
They're the best.
I had to have an antagonist that has like an epiphany while watching animals have sex in a zoo. I had to have a feral child, and it had to be a jukebox musical.
Yep. Piece of cake.
Yeah. All these songs.
That's a Tuesday for you.
All of these songs are really just organically integrated into the plot and are not just, like, thrown in at all.
All right. I can tell. Okay. I believe you.
I believe you. Yeah, I trust you.
Okay.
So
picture this.
There we go.
So, as you may remember, the last time we saw Steve Irwin...
Oh, Jesus. Nope. That's it. Good night, folks. Too soon.
Oh, yeah. This is a sequel.
Oh, God.
To his death?
Continue.
As you may remember, we last saw Steve Irwin and his beautiful bride, Ellen DeGeneres, just playing herself or playing a character. I really don't care. They were getting married in the Bahamas, hoping to leave the attempted robot apocalypse behind them. You see, this is a sequel to a film that I'm not going to pitch. I'm only going to pitch the second one.
Okay.
I like that.
Yeah, right. So they're trying to, like, leave all of that underground robot uprising behind them. They just got married, and it's great. So now, who is it? Oh, Steve Irwin and Ellen DeGeneres are on their honeymoon, and they're on a cruise ship. And they're doing all sorts of cute stuff. They're, like, going down water slides and eating popsicles and touching each other. Ew. And they go to, like, a karaoke bar on the boat.
Nice.
Yeah, and that's when the first song comes in, because he doesn't want to sing, but Ellen's like, come on, you got to, I'm your wife.
I'm your wife.
Yeah, so he goes up there and sings I Don't Want to Wait, theme to Dawson's Creek. But the subtext is that he's talking about consummating their marriage, you know. He doesn't want to wait anymore.
Am I right?
He's ready to get that DeGeneres, I don't know, there's a pun there, but I'm not sure what it is.
He would like her to be degenerous with her body.
That's what I was thinking.
He wants to degenerate that vagina.
Yeah.
He'd like to do it with his wife.
Yeah.
Why is that funny? Sexual intercourse with his bride.
Yeah, on this boat to consummate their love.
Stick his wiener in something.
Yeah, so they get out of the on-boat karaoke bar, and they're on the deck, and they're getting kissy and stuff, and then, like, Steve Irwin's like, wait, what is that? It's a star that is just brighter than all the other stars in the sky. Someone just made a weird noise. But it keeps getting brighter and brighter, and then, you know, by the time it's too late, we realize that it's a giant robotic manta ray, which falls from the sky and lands on the cruise ship. And the cruise ship just explodes. Just fire. Fire and death. And Steve Irwin dies because he gets robot shards of the giant manta ray plunged through his heart.
Okay.
It's a robot manta ray?
It's a giant robot manta ray, but as soon as it hits the boat, it also explodes.
And well, that's just shoddy craftsmanship.
Yeah, well, yes. So yeah, it explodes, and people are dying, and, you know, and Ellen resurfaces out of the water, and she's alive, but she's just trying to find, well, she probably finds Steve's body, and he's bleeding out, and he dies. So, we do a montage over the next few years, and see other, like, world landmarks getting destroyed by giant robot animals just falling out of the sky. So, like, a big robot pig falls on the Eiffel Tower, and some big fat bug falls on Mount Rushmore, and, you know, it's like those movies where monuments get destroyed, but with big robot animals. You know, and they do that. Oh, man, there should be another song soon.
Something
you
animal
better decide.
Themed, right?
It doesn't matter.
Well, you could have a song sung by the people of the world when all this destruction is happening.
Yeah, they're
saying... it smells like Teen Spirit.
That's fine. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
Just go with it. Don't worry about it.
Right. So there's one, like, nerd that works for the government. Oh, yeah, here's the thing, though. They all, like, they explode. The robots always explode when they destroy shit. And nobody knows, like, what's destroying all their monuments. Like, we see that it's these giant animals falling out of space. But nobody else sees that. Except this one guy. This one, like, science nerd who works for the government, who's using science and putting facts together. Right. He loves animals also.
He has a collection of stuffed animals at home.
Yes, he does.
Why does nobody else see them?
Because everyone is dumb and oblivious, and they just, they fall really fast. So it just looks like
I mean, is it just destroying the monuments in the South? Or I don't understand.
What?
Well, you said everybody's dumb. Like, how dumb is everyone?
No, it's a movie version of The Real World, only everyone looks at the ground instead of up.
Yeah.
It's the same as The Real World, only except for that one difference.
Right.
All right, I'll buy that.
So this one, like, nerd, who's played by Dwayne Johnson, he's the guy who's...
Against typecast. That's
yeah,
good.
Right, yeah. He's got his little glasses on. He's pretty much like Milo from Atlantis, The Lost Empire.
But he's just fucking ripped to shit, right?
Right, but, like, no one acknowledges okay. that. Everyone just, like, treats him like crap.
Well, it's like a Superman thing.
Yeah, right.
Clark Kent's his big, oh, man, Clark, you're such a nerd. Get out of here with your glasses. And then, yeah.
Right.
Continue.
Yeah, so right. anyway, he's trying to, like, figure it, or he's already put it all together. And he tries to tell his boss, who is Ray Liotta, for some reason, and mm-hmm. and he just fires him. He's like, no, that's ridiculous. There's not giant robot animals coming from outer space. We already defeated all of the robot animals in the last uprising several years ago. It's not happening. You're fired because you're dumb and nobody likes you. And maybe they sing some more. So somehow at this point, like, Dwayne The Rock Johnson figures out that Ellen exists and she, like, saw one of the robot creatures. It doesn't really matter how. But he has to find her, because she's the only other person that believes. So he finds out that she's, like, living in the jungle somewhere. So he, like, bushwhacks through the jungle and find her, and, like, the horror of having her husband, like, killed has driven her crazy, and she's just, like, living with this monkey family in the jungle. And, you know, she's become feral Ellen DeGeneres, because why not? And she just hangs out with monkeys, and feel free to interrupt me at any time.
No,
I have no objections to any of that. That sounds, you know, it sounds great. Really classy and sophisticated.
Thank you.
And,
thank you, Scott.
I'm
well, anyway, Dwayne Johnson's trying to convince her that, you know, she's not crazy and these animals are really falling out of the sky by singing, "The sky is falling, the sky is falling. Put your hands up, it's going to be the big one." The famous
inside joke.
The famous Fickle's Lot song. It's not really inside because only six of our friends listen to this podcast. They're all going to get it. It's fine.
Is someone adjusting the blinds?
I think someone's like yes. frying
we have
meat.
Have a rear window situation here.
I may or may not, yes.
Yeah.
Continue, Mark.
I forget, you know, just make
more
it
songs.
Just make
songs.
Up the end of it. They just sang The Sky is Falling. That's pretty good.
Alright.
So they go to the library, and there's like a montage of them doing research about robots and animals and space and planets and stuff.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter how, but somehow they figure out that there's just like, all of these animals are coming from Jupiter. They're just like, that's the direction, trajectories, and science. Dwayne is very smart at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Wait, does he increase in brain power throughout the movie?
Yeah, sure. Why
is
not?
He just cannibalizing all the other like semi-smart people in the office and absorbing their like
well, he got,
animal
he got fired.
Robot brain understanding?
Yeah, I mean, sure. I don't know what office you're talking about. Maybe the office, because he got fired from his job. But yeah, he's just eating.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, Ray Liotta fired him when he tried to tell him that robots were falling from Jupiter.
Oh, that was in Act 1. I never pay attention to Act 1.
Oh, me either. Yeah.
I hate setup. I'm all about delivery and climax and, you know, denouement, too. I love denouement.
Yeah. So they figure out that, you know, these robots are, like, living on Jupiter and they're trying to invade Earth for some reason. It doesn't really matter. They're going to go find the president and tell the president that they have all of the science now, because the two of them together are, like, you know, they're unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to go tell the president that they need to go to Jupiter to fucking kill all of the giant animal robots that are falling to Earth. And they get there, but then it's not the president, it's Edward James Olmos, who is just, we recognize him as the leader of the underground robot army from the first film. And then he sings "Smooth" by Santana just in its entirety, because he's a very smooth guy.
Not his face though.
Yeah, no, that's called dramatic.
That's
dramatic irony.
Yeah, I know.
That's
I got it.
That's pretty harsh.
Hey, he is a wonderful man.
Is that just like acne scarring? Did he have a really rough teenager years? Or
maybe
is he like deeply burned in an accident?
Oh, like, call him up.
Nope, it was on purpose.
Wait, he got terrible scarring acne on purpose?
Yeah.
Yep. He's like, how am I going to look stand out in this Hollywood?
Just like just rubbed oil and dirt on his face for years.
Yep, yeah. and ate McDonald's through his skin.
Via osmosis.
That's why they call him Edward yes. James Osmosis.
We're terrible people. Continue.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm sorry, Edward James Olmos.
It doesn't matter. Edward James Olmos is a bad guy, and he's also the president now, because the real president has gone missing, and he became president. But they know it. It's not like he's pretending to be the fake president. So I didn't entirely steal this movie from G.I. Joe Retaliation. But yeah, he's a bad president. He says, no, you can't go to space. There's clearly no giant animal problem. I don't know what you're talking about. Just don't even worry about it. So they're about to give up hope when they see a commercial on TV about how Richard Branson has built his own spaceship to go to space. And so then they fly to wherever his island is. Because he has an island somewhere, and he's really rich, and he has a mansion, and they all sing "Mo Money, Mo Problems," because. But it's not really a problem because he has a spaceship, and he's going to let him use it because he's a nice guy with a big smile. And he's played by Kevin Smith, because who cares?
Yeah, he's not doing anything.
No, he's not. And he looks just like Richard Branson, so it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. The only catch is that the spaceship can only hold three people, and it takes two people to pilot the spaceship, which are the two co-pilots, Ratchet and Clank, who are played...
Are you kidding me?
Well, that's just their names.
Oh, okay.
Their names are just Ratchet and Clank. They're played by James Dean, the porn star, and a CGI recreation of Audrey Hepburn.
Okay.
Okay. Continue. Yeah.
And
then what happens?
Well, the ship is almost ready to go. They want to go to Jupiter, but only one of them can go, so they have to decide. So then we cut to, like, sunset on this tropical island beach, and they've clearly just made love in the surf. Dwayne and Ellen, I mean. And Dwayne insists that Ellen should be the one to go, and he sings Drops of Jupiter by Train to her, because they're going to Jupiter, and they just made love in the sand. And
so they're all
come
drooping.
On! She's filled with his... Continue.
Yep. And they sing Drops of Jupiter together in a beautiful sunset duet and kiss some more. And it's very sad because they're parting ways. But then I decided I didn't want them to part ways. So, like, at launch the next day, we find out that Richard Branson has added two more seats to the spaceship. so everybody can go.
Wait, but can one of them be given away to Ethan Hawke just because?
Well, no, because the other
and
one...
And there's still a problem?
Sure. So the other one
and they keep adding seats, and then Ethan Hawke keeps inviting more people.
That's fine, because they're all afraid of, like, the robot animal apocalypse. So Ethan Hawke just keeps, like, inviting his friends onto Branson's ship.
Wait. Who is Ethan Hawke in this?
He's just himself.
He's just Ethan Hawke.
It's like, yeah, it's
he
like,
just shows up. He has no point in the movie except to take up space on the spaceship.
I must have been spacing out or something. I didn't
Scott,
know.
Scott just added that. Scott just said, can Ethan Hawke take the other seat on the
ship?
Oh,
okay.
So, yeah. So, anyway, they add, like, 50 carriages to the back of the ship, so Ethan Hawke and a whole bunch of other famous, like, B-list actors can also come on this trek. But there's two seats up in the front for Ellen and for Richard Branson, Kevin Smith. And then they launch off just in time as another giant farm animal, like, lands on the island and just destroys the whole island. I don't know. You guys can decide what animal that is. I don't really care.
Divorce.
No.
Okay. So then the rest of the movie is just, like, action set pieces and songs. I don't really know. It doesn't really matter. But, you know, they go through space, and, like, at some point... something hits the ship and it starts on fire, so James Dean has to go, like, do a heroic rescue, like, on the burning exterior of the ship, and he sings Walking on the Sun while he fixes the burning ship. We should be singing all these songs in their entirety as I bring them up.
We'll be walking on it.
Duh! At some point...
Sorry.
At some point in, like, a meteor belt, they, like, get lost or run out of fuel, and their ship just, like, drifts aimlessly, and they all, like, very somberly sing an a cappella version of Dust in the Wind. Until like, just a giant robot bird that's supposed to be bad but is actually good, because that's a theme in my scripts, birds that seem bad but turn good, just, like, picks them up and throws them towards Jupiter, because it's nice. Yeah.
Like the eagles?
Yeah, well, yeah,
from,
it's a helpful.
Comet.
Yeah, it's a helpful eagle. Yeah. So yeah, some more robots fall to Earth, and President James Olmos is, like, blaming it on real animals somehow. I don't know. He's using all of this to pass a bunch of, like, anti-animal legislation. Nobody can have pets anymore. No more.
Yeah. Animals can't vote.
Exactly. Well, no, they can vote. See, that's the thing. He's trying to turn all the animals into people. So, like, animals can't be pets anymore, or, like, be raised on farms and stuff. They all have to wear, like, ties and go to work and, like, get jobs. And it's just really awful for the animals. It's pretty much like Nazi Germany for animals. Let's see. Oh, and while he's singing to the animals and telling them they have to act like people, he sings "I'll Make a Man Out of You" from Mulan, because he's turning the animals into people.
Oh, jeez.
It doesn't really matter. So they get to Jupiter and just
is that the title of the movie?
Yep. So Jupiter is actually a solid planet in the story. I hope that's okay.
What is it?
Yeah, it's just, well, it's just robot animals. It's a gas giant. It's just fucking robot animals all, like, intertwined with each other.
Oh, God.
I just made that
up. Is this where the sex comes in?
Yeah. No, they already had the sex.
The robot animals and the epiphany?
What? No. Oh, no, not that yet. No.
Oh, okay.
No, that's going to happen in a real zoo in, like, two scenes.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, but this is a fake, this is a, like a zoo for giant robot animals that has just been built on Jupiter. And it's just like, it covers the entire planet. And like, occasionally, like, a giant cage will open and a giant animal will get ejected and get sent to Earth. And then they just fall to Earth and fucking get destroyed. And so that's what Earth is doing. So basically, at some point, we figure out that there's this bad guy who lives on Jupiter called the Zookeeper. And his plan was originally to just make robot animals and send them to Earth and, like, integrate them with our animal population so they could, like, be undercover and take over the planet from, like, within. But he doesn't know what size animals are, and he made them all just way too fucking big. So they just keep crashing to Earth and destroying shit. Which is fine, too. Skipping parts.
No.
Wait, everyone in the movie starts skipping?
Yeah, you just... sure. Yeah. Oh, like, right, so they're on, like, the zoo, and, like, they're... Right when they land, like, they call too much attention to themselves, and they're about to get attacked by some sort of, like, giant robot animal, but James Dean has, like, a whole bunch of grenades, and just charges the animal and sacrifices himself by blowing up all of his grenades
to
save his team. Yes! Oh, that's good. Yeah, he had a whole bunch of grenades just, like, dangling from his belt between his legs. Yeah.
It's suggestive, you know, bringing that right. The teen audience.
Right, exactly. So anyway, he explodes, and they have to bury him in a junkyard, and they sing the black parade, because why not?
Oh, good. Oh, you're just sad because they broke up.
Yeah.
How dare you mention that, Tyler?
Oh, no, I feel real bad.
Yeah. So
I forgot that even happened.
Actually, don't think that, like, when they broke up, I didn't think about, like, just writing a script that was all My Chemical Romance songs.
Well, I remember that happening shortly after this.
Yeah. So I thought about it, but then I thought you guys would just be more upset than you are now.
I'm steaming.
Yeah. So basically, I didn't really write this part out, but they just have to, like, trek their way across Jupiter and, like, try to get to the zookeeper and just, like, fight. And the zookeeper keeps letting giant animals out of their cages, and they have lots of cool battles, and they have to, like, you know, camp and, like, shoot things. Like, they build cool weapons out of, like, the robot parts. And CGI Audrey Hepburn probably gets injured at some point. It doesn't really matter. So back on Earth, Ray Liotta, if you remember, was Dwayne Johnson's really mean boss, and he's a bad guy, and he's, like, helping out, Edward James Olmos, like, turn all the animals into people. But one day, you know, he's just at the zoo, and he's just watching the animals, being animals, and, like, having animal sex, because you've forced me to write this.
Yep.
And he's just like, no, this isn't the way that it should be. We shouldn't make animals be people. Animals should be animals. And then he recruits all the animals at the zoo to start his big secret animal army, and they're going to go assassinate the president. Because, you know, that's his turnaround epiphany that he had from watching animal sex. And the president is all, like, upset, and he's calling for the extermination of all the animals now. He just doesn't even care. He just, like, kill them all, put them in camps, and gas them up.
Jesus.
Yeah.
What gas?
Animal gas.
More oxygen.
Yeah, he's gonna over-oxygenate them. Oh, yeah, and then, like, all the animals are rising up against the president. But then, like, all the pieces of all the robots that crashed to Earth, like, crawl out of the ocean and the mountains and stuff and rebuild themselves into, like, a big robot animal army.
Yes.
That, just, like, go hang out in Washington, D.C. to defend the president. So, yeah, this is a really big side plot. So that's happening. So Ray Liotta, like, marches on the White House with his, like, half-humanoid animal army.
Yeah, and, I know, think this might have to be a mini-series.
Yeah, it probably can be. I can write at least 10 more pages of this. But can you picture there's just, like, that big reflecting pool there in Washington, D.C., and at one end it's just Edward James Olmos and a bunch of giant robots, and at the other is, like, Ray Liotta and a whole bunch of, like, animals wearing pants. And they stare at each other for a while, and then they, like, run and charge and, like, fight each other in Washington, D.C.
Yep.
Well, that's what happens. Yep. Can you picture that? Well, that doesn't happen at all. No, that happens. And that's probably at the same time is when the big battle in space happens. I guess they find the zookeeper, and it is, you know, it's Paul Blart, the zookeeper.
I was going to say, is it Kevin James?
Yeah, but he's referred to as Paul Blart. Paul Blart, zookeeper. And he has the president held hostage, and, you know, they're fighting, and Ellen DeGeneres probably does, like, a big monologue about how he killed her husband, and about how that time that she lived with all the monkeys taught her about the true love for animals, and she has to save all the animals, and she shoots at Paul Blart, but he, like, he gets hit, but, like, not fatally, and he runs over to the big lever to turn the lever to release all of the giant animals, which would just, like, destroy Earth. But then we're like, where's Dwayne The Rock Johnson? We haven't seen him in a little while. Well, remember, he's like a super smart computer hacker guy, and he hacked the animal cage computer. It doesn't matter. Pretty much just all of those giant robots just fall to Earth, but fall specifically on Washington, D.C., and just, like, and kill all of the other robots, and just, like, a big stack of, like, robot animal parts. And it just ends the war there and kills Edward James Olmos. And they rescue the president, and Paul Blart escapes on another giant manta ray to fight another day. And then they, like, they fly back to Earth on another robot animal, I think an eel, maybe? And they sing I'm Tired and I Want to Go Home, you know, that song they sing in Jaws. The president, I think, leads the way with that, who's played by David Lynch.
Fine.
Yeah, so he's singing that while riding the front. He's not wearing, like, a space suit or anything either. He's just, like, riding this eel like a cowboy through space, singing, I'm tired, I want to go home. And, and we left Ethan Hawke and everybody on Jupiter, because that's not important. And finally they all get back to Washington, D.C., which is being rebuilt out of, like, robot parts and shit. And President David Lynch gives them all medals, and they are all very happy because they won medals. And then Ellen realizes that she's pregnant with Dwayne's baby, and then we see a close-up on President David Lynch's eye, and he's actually a robot. The end!
Oh, no. Did you plan that twist?
Yeah! I planned the whole thing for years!
Wow. And this was the platform you used to launch it.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I'd like to shove it off that platform.
Yeah. I'm so upset that I got to do that whole pitch, like, relatively uninterrupted and fucking awful.
I mean, I was interested, genuinely.
Good.
You're just going. You had it going.
Yeah,
I was...
There's definitely plot pieces that I'm upset about, and animals and songs,
you
know, so it
it's
happened.
Like I was watching it in my mind. You know.
That's really, you know, that's the best compliment that you can give me. I was trying to think of a joke to make that sound less sincere, but I didn't come up with anything.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Is that the joke?
Yeah. So did you like how I left it open for another movie, too, so in case we want to do that miniseries.
Yeah, we can each pitch an episode.
Yeah, that's fine. You can just change this podcast. And just do these for forever. So it's called Robots vs. Animals 2 Farmageddon.
Oh, God. Good for you.
Thanks. Would you give me money to make this?
Yeah, I'll give you $15.
Thanks, I can use that.
I'll give you $15 and a job. How's that?
$15, by that you mean 15 deer?
Yep, a 15-point buck.
One 15-point buck, thanks.
Trevor, Scott,
I'm sweaty.
How you doing?
I'll give you a wink and a smile.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Does that insinuate sex? Or?
No.
Yeah.
In a wish.
Don't you like picturing Ellen DeGeneres and Dwayne The Rock Johnson having sex on a beach?
Yeah. I really don't.
And then just moist and glistening,
ew.
Yeah.
There's like seaweed up in places there shouldn't be. And
yeah.
Yeah, covering all their body parts but their privates.
Yeah, and they're... yeah, and they're singing really loudly, so their whole bodies are straining, and you can see like all these gross muscles popping out.
Yeah,
oh, God.
Yeah. Plus, he's still wearing his little glasses because he's a nerd.
And they keep almost falling off, so he has to push them up. And he's got like a huge finger, so he breaks them every time.
He breaks his nose every time.
Yeah, it just like collapses into his face. Yeah. And then he sticks his thumb in his mouth and blows, and it pops back out.
Oh, is this an animated series?
Yeah,
now?
It's a cartoon, yeah.
That's fine.
Good, that'll give
we
me
didn't
a job.
Mention that. I didn't mention that before.
No. But that's good. I like it.
Yeah.
Scott, are you giving me money to make this?
Well, here's what I say. Even though you ain't got money, I'm so in love with you, honey.
Thanks.
So no, okay. I'm not wasting my time on that. No.
Okay.
Wow. Thanks.
Well, that's
great.
Well.
Well, where do we go from here?
I don't know. Next week was supposed to be like either a guest or like a special episode. Like we can just make stuff up on the spot. We can do like we all do mini pitches. We can pitch sequels.
What if we all come up with the word for the title? One word for the title.
Wait, and then we all have to come up with a different, like, a 15-minute pitch based on that title?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
I don't know. I mean, is that a bad idea?
No, that's fine. Nope. That's a thing. Everyone pitching, like, 10-minute things is probably, like, the way we should have done this podcast in the first place.
All right, well, let's test this out, all right? Everybody come up with a word that you want in the title.
Oh, okay.
And I mean, this isn't a cop out. I really like it beginning with the word "the."
Is that yours though?
Yeah, mine is "the."
Ah,
well, it's like, well, what's better, horse fucker or the horse fucker?
Well, I was thinking like "the" could just be a default, and then we all add words after that.
Oh, okay, all right, fine. It starts with "the,"
right,
and then pilgrimage. Pilgrimage.
That's good.
That's mine.
That's good. Trevor, Scott.
Retribution. Not the third word. I want that to be the last word. Scott, glue this thing together.
The third word is of.
No.
No, wait.
Fine.
What about a colon?
No.
The pilgrimage blank colon.
Or just a word colon.
Colon retribution.
Well, does it have to make sense?
I mean, it should like make some sort of like vague grammatical sense.
Wait, okay.
It's the pilgrimage, there's space for two
colon,
words there.
The pilgrimage colon Vegeta retribution.
I didn't get to put a word in.
Oh wait.
Trevor said pilgrimage and what's, or he said retribution
that's
and
true.
Colon.
I forgot.
Colon,
yeah,
colon
what's your
is
word?
Not me.
My word is Vegeta.
That's fine. And do you want it to,
me,
do you want Vegeta to be after pilgrimage or before retribution?
Dealer's choice.
Yeah, we'll assemble it together once we have all four.
Pilgrimage Vegeta doesn't really make sense. Vegeta retribution.
I mean, are we talking about the character from Dragon Ball?
Yes, of course we are.
Okay. Well,
it can be the Vegeta pilgrimage retribution.
But there needs to be another word.
I know.
Or it could be Vegeta, the pilgrimage retribution.
Mark, just Pick a fucking word so we can figure this out.
No words fit in here anymore.
Oh, Jesus.
Magma.
All right, let's start over. No, we're start
done.
Over.
We're done, and my word is magma.
The magma pilgrimage. Vegeta retribution.
It can be Vegeta's no. retribution.
Magma, all right. Magma retribution, the Vegeta pilgrimage.
Vegeta's pilgrimage.
Vegeta's pilgrimage of the magma retribution.
That's too many words.
Yeah. No, what? Vegeta's pilgrimage, colon, magma retribution.
How about How about anybody can just take those four words and make their own title? Because all right, everyone's fine. Got their own pitches. Yeah. Right.
Perfect.
Duh.
Jesus Christ.
How about we all just watch Dragon Ball Z?
Well, we got 15 more minutes. That's what I'm going to do.
Ooh, yeah.
Wait, so what are we doing now?
We're all going to watch Dragon Ball Z and then pitch Dragon Ball Z as if it's our own idea. So take
you just have to come up with a short
take the four words retribution, magma, pilgrimage, and Vegeta, assort them in any way you want. You can use of or the or like a colon, but don't add other main words, and then pitch like a 10 to 15 minute movie. No, a 10 to 15 minute pitch, but still a feature film.
10 to 15 minute movie.
Yeah.
Pitch
10 to 15 movies based on this idea.
Can we make an anagram of all of those letters in all those words?
No, but you can, but don't.
All right, I'm gonna do that, but leave Vegeta intact. So
whatever, it doesn't matter.
None of this matters.
And also, it doesn't have to be about Vegeta.
I know. Vegeta's the name of a hamster in mine.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's up to you guys.
Oh, I got mine now. Ooh, okay.
Are we just doing them now?
No. But I know what Vegeta's going to mean in mine.
Okay, good.
It's not sexual, so get it out of your heads, guys.
Mm. Well, then it's going to be sexual in mine.
A sexual hamster?
It's about a young hamster's... budding sexuality.
Yeah.
Oh, remember in Dr. Dolittle when was it hamsters? They sang like "Let's Get It On" or something.
Yeah.
All I remember is in the trailer for Dr. Dolittle 2, Eddie Murphy takes away his daughter's cell phone, and she says, "What am I supposed to do without my cell phone?" That's all I know about Dr. Dolittle.
Mark, that's racist.
It's exactly what she says, and that's how she says it, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean...
No.
I know what it is.
No, I know what you mean. Like, I was stuck on the subway this morning, and the announcer, like, came on and was saying, and this is exactly how he said it. He said, due to a computer error, the trains will not be moving anytime soon. And, like... I wanted to tell everyone about that because I thought it was awesome.
On the train?
You guys awesome are not going to believe what just happened. This is my favorite guy. No, but I felt like, I mean, because maybe he was white. I don't know.
Right.
But,
yeah,
like, I felt like people would have thought I was racist if I did this awesome impersonation.
Yeah, anyway. I don't think you're racist.
What?
I think you're sexist as all hell. But other than that,
by assuming it was a man, yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah, you don't know if he was gay or not. Come on.
Yeah.
Whew.
Well,
this one clocked in at a tight 50 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, at least we might still talk to each other.
Mm. There's a chance. But,
yeah, well, that was episode 8 of Picture This. How do you guys feel?
I feel sick.
Sleepy.
Mostly because I ate like a pound of pasta while I was doing that pitch, and it was pretty much just like covered in butter and cheese.
Yeah, we're actually sponsored by Pound of Pasta. So.
Pound of Pasta. Oh yeah, I forgot to do the plug. We got to plug Pound of Pasta. Everybody say the catchphrase at the same time. 1, 2, 3.
It's a pound of pasta, literally.
Yep. Scott got it right.
Yep.
Scott's the spokesman.
I win the pasta.
Wait, actually, this is a good idea for a restaurant. It's just like a fast food restaurant that just serves pasta by the pound, just like in a bag or a box. Yeah. They've got it ready to go.
In a bag or a box?
Yeah. It's
you want that bagged or boxed? Oh,
it's a bag or a box.
Bag box, or we can liquefy it, maybe.
Put it into a smoothie.
All that matters is that... It's a pound, literally.
You have to say it pasta. At the same time. Yeah. It's a pound. Fine. Pound.
It's a pound.
Literally.
So, Tyler, when you do the post for this, just sync all of those up, and then the rest of it will just fall in line.
Yeah. All right, I think it's time to say goodbye.
Yep, we hit 50 minutes. Good night, America.
Good night. We all did right. it.
Spain,
bye.
Congratulations.
All right.
Groovy.